Covering the crew all season long, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studio in downtown Milwaukee at the Avenue, here is your host, Bob Brainerd.
Pinch hitting for Dom on a Tuesday night. I am Bob Brainerd. Sitting across from me here in downtown Milwaukee is former Brewer pitcher Jerry Augustine. This is Brewers Extra Innings, Milwaukee over Detroit, Augie 12-4. I'm going to call this the piecemeal victory for the Brewers because they piecemealed the offense together to put up a dozen runs. They piecemealed the pitching staff to get the job done and get to the finish line. That seems to be like the ultimate Brewer way. When you can piecemeal the pitching and the offense and get the W out of it, that's kind of the way they draw it up on the blackboard, isn't it?
You know, when you go into a ball game and you look at, say, what do you need to win a ball game? You got to play well in all three phases. You got to do something special. When you look at the Brewers, what they did tonight, I think anytime you go into Detroit, especially the way they've been playing home, they haven't lost at home so far this year.
They had one loss coming into tonight, but they've been very good.
One loss, you put a three spot up in the second. You know, you got to put a three spot up in their second. And you look at what they did. After Terang's base hit where they scored their third run, they didn't get a base runner until the eighth inning.
Mm-hmm.
But the pitching staff came and did a great job. You look at the job that Grant Anderson did for Harrison, came in the game, throwing a double play to Baez and getting out of that inning and setting the tone for the rest of the ballgame. And then the eighth inning with Sanchez hitting a triple. How often does that happen, that he hits a triple followed by a triple by Mitchell? So you're looking at a game where it took all phases of the game to do well. This team did it.
Let's start with the pitching. Let's start with the starter tonight in Kyle Harrison. I know coming in, not his best outing, Augie, and they had to pull him after three innings because he was in the 70s on his pitch count. So not particularly sharp, but okay. But I know coming in, you and I were talking a couple days ago, you said, I really like Kyle Harrison and what they got in this trade to get him. Tell me what you like about his makeup.
I think the big thing with him is he's a strike thrower. He's got that fastball that he can locate down in his zone, up in his zone. His strike strength is with his fastball, but he can throw his breaking ball over the plate. And I think the one thing he does is he throws strikes. So anytime you see him go in a game like he did in that fourth inning where he had some trouble, he got behind hitters. He couldn't find the strike zone, walking guys, getting guys in position, getting guys in a place where they could score a bunch of runs. He did that inning. I think he just got a little out of whack, was overthrowing a little bit. But historically, what we've seen out of Kyle Harrison, the first part of season, all the starts, the ability to throw strikes and get ahead of hitters. Now, this is his first year in the big leagues where he's starting on a consistent basis. It's a learning situation. He's got to understand that, you know what, sometimes you give up velocity. Sometimes you give up to where you want to throw the ball to maybe work on location. Get the location down. Think about location. Everything else will come. I think that's the problem tonight. He went and tried to overthrow maybe just a little bit in that fourth inning. And what happened, he got himself behind and got himself in trouble. And I'll tell you what, great job by Murph coming in and bringing Grant Anderson, because Grant Anderson is really the story of the game for this bullpen, coming in throwing in that double play ball.
It really is. And that's part two of talking pitching with you tonight, Jerry Augustine, is Grant Anderson. You go, oh my goodness, it kind of early for him to come in, because we're usually used to seeing Grant Anderson come in late, mid to late in a ball game, depending on what the score is, but not this early. But I think because of what Trevor Megill is going through right now, and Megill fouled Anderson after this, but I think right now Murph and Chris Hook are kind of flip-flopping this bullpen a little bit, don't you think?
Yeah, they are. I think when you look at this pitching staff, I think, you know, and you and I have talked about, I think last week we kind of did a review on everything with this bullpen. It has been for the first part of the season, because we have Aaron Ashby was 5-0 coming out right after the starters and getting a lot of wins. And that's usually what they do. But he's going to be a floater now. I think when you talk about two pitchers on this staff that are really valuable to the staff because Jared Koenig is out, I think number one is going to be Grant Anderson and Aaron Ashby and how you use them. And you can use them both in following that starter, being that guy that comes in and closes the game out, gets the game under control after the starter. That is so huge. Grant Anderson did that really well tonight. And in the past, it's been Aaron Ashby. But Aaron Ashby can do so many things in this. He can do anything from coming in after the starter to being your closer. He's got that versatility.
He can be a starter. And he's been a starter.
Yes, and he can be a starter. So you look at what his versatility is, and I think what Murfin and the pitching coaches are doing, they're saying, hey, you know what? We're going to have to be a little versatile until we figure this thing out, especially getting McGill in a good spot and then getting Jared Koenig back.
Yeah, Ashby's spot, you know, comes in the eighth inning.
That's right.
And again, that's something that we've seen, you know, the quote-unquote, he's going to be the starter for somebody else to come in after an inning or two. So we've seen him do that. We've also seen him come in early to middle innings.
Yeah.
And then now you see tonight. And I think, Augie, that all of this with Grant Anderson coming in sooner, with Ashby coming in later, I think this is all the Trevor McGill effect. And you mentioned Koenig too. So if McGill's out of the equation on where he normally is, which is closing baseball games, and with Koenig not available right now, you're kind of seeing some mixing and matching going on with the bullpen. And as you said, it's fluid right now with that entire bullpen top to bottom, isn't it?
Well, what you're doing is you're taking what the strength was last year. You're taking that three-headed monster with McGill, Jared Koenig, and Uribe late in the ball games, and you say, well, we get to the eighth inning and the game is over because we got those three guys to finish it out. Now we got a little bit of a problem here because McGill's been struggling a little bit. Oh, we also have another problem because Jared Koenig went down and he's going to be out for a while. So now you've got that one guy, you got that Uribe that you're going to have to count on for a lot, maybe as a closer on that. But so now you got the flexibility that you have with having maybe McGill starting to throw the ball a little bit better. Tonight he threw the ball great for one inning again. Are you going to put him back in that closer? Or are you going to let Uribe get there? Or are you going to put him back in that three-headed monster one? But within that three-headed monster, you got to have that lefty. And is that going to be Zerpa or is it going to be Ashby? And I think the flexibility with both those guys is really going to pay off.
What do you think the Brewers should do with McGill? Because you said, like, okay, he threw well tonight, but has it been enough? You know, how many more outings do you want to plug him in a role that he's not used to until you say, okay, let's put you back there? Is it gradual? Is it a gut? You know, is it a feel thing? What do you think it is?
I think the one thing you talk about, I think that's what's so good about Chris Hook and Henderson. They have not only do they have a feel for the ability to throw the baseball over the plate, but they have the ability to understand these guys and how they are personally and what their actions are and how they carry themselves. And I think McGill's going to be the guy that I don't think they're going to wait much longer. I think you're going to see him after, especially after tonight. I think you're going to see him in that closer rate and just to see what he can do if he comes out. I thought what he's been doing lately that he hasn't done early in the season, he's been able to get that breaking ball over. He's been able to throw that fastball to good locations, 98 to 99 to 100. But what he's been able to do, he's been able to double up on his breaking ball. Before, he couldn't throw his breaking ball for a strike.
Right.
So then what you do is you limit him to his fastball. Now, where is he throwing his fastball? Because he's behind, he's throwing him center plate. He got hit. I think now he's starting to use the corners a little bit, but I really key for him is being able to use the breaking ball and double up on it and be able to throw it for strikes, and he's been doing that now.
It's going to be interesting to see and monitor how they handle Trevor McGill. And,
that's right.
And maybe they don't put him into the closer role after a set amount of outings in different innings, but maybe, Augie, maybe it's like the eighth inning role that – and you say, okay, Uribe, you're the closer for now. Trevor, you're going to go to the eighth inning. And the eighth inning in Major League Baseball right now seems to have almost the same amount of pressure to try to, even though you're not saving the game and ending the game, you're trying to get it to that closer. And I think if you put McGill in that role and say, okay, you're not closing the game, but this is still ultra important to get it to Abner. So maybe that's the next step in his progression.
I think they could do it that way. I think that's one way they can do it. I think Uribe's type of style of pitcher that he is, his comfort zone is the eighth inning. He's when you get to the closer rate, it's a little bit different. You see him sometimes overthrowing that breaking ball, the overthrowing the slider a little bit, like I just said, or the fastball not in good locations. I think his comfort level right now is in that eighth inning guy, and I think what you want to do is you want to get McGill to that closer. But I could see just what you just said. I could see him maybe say, hey, you know what? Let's bring McGill in that eighth inning. Let's see what he does in that eighth inning. Is that a stepping stone? any way they want to do it is a good thing. If it turns out to be successful, it's all going to work out. But I think McGill's going to be your closer. I think it's just a matter of games that until he is the closer. And I think they want to get back to where to get Uribe in that eighth inning and get close to where they were before and maybe Zerpa or Ashby in that left-handed situation.
One final thought on the pitching tonight, Augie. Let's go back to Kyle Harrison again. You mentioned that you like him because he's a strike thrower, and that was a little more difficult for him tonight in doing that. So when he looks back and when he studies tape of this before his next start, what's he going to see? What's he going to break down? And what's he going to say, oh, I need to do better so that I turn back into a strike thrower in my next start 5-6 days down the road?
He's a style of pitcher. There's two styles of pitcher, Bob. There's a style of pitcher we call duck and drive. And these are duck and drive pitchers are guys who kind of drop their back half of their body and drive to the plate. There's tall and fall. Tall and fall guys are guys who stay more erect, stay tall on the top of the mound, and then they go down and they get down, they throw the ball in a downward plane. Harrison is a tall and fall guy. And I think the one thing the problem that you might have as a tall and fall guy, a guy who stands really erect and just drives right at the plate, is you fly open with your front side. That means you get really aggressive going to the plate and your front shoulder opens up and your arm drags, and then you don't have that good command of all your pitches. And it's not just a fastball, it's your breaking ball, it's all your pitches. And I think tonight when you see him, especially early in the game, he was really good. Really staying nice and tall, nice and erect, going driving directly at the plate. You're going to see in that third inning, he got up there and he started flying over with that front shoulder. Couldn't command the strike zone like he was in the first two innings.
Duck and drive, you say, huh?
Duck and drive.
Yeah, I went golfing for the first time this season.
Did you duck and drive?
No, I drive and yell, duck! Because, yeah. He's Jerry Augustine. I'm Bob Brainerd. This is Brewers Extra Innings. More to come. McCoppy says, spring is almost here. Depends which day it is, Augie. For a limited time at Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical, get a free AC system with the purchase of a new gas furnace. Lately, you can use both. Stay comfortable year-round, but hurry. Spots are limited. Call today or visit Sider.com to schedule your appointment. I shouldn't laugh because it's true, right?
You're right.
Tornado warnings, and then, the furnace kicks in the next morning.
Wow, it's just amazing the weather that we've had here.
You don't like the weather in Wisconsin? Wait a moment. He's Jerry Augustine. He's a Wisconsin native, so he knows what I'm talking about. I'm Bob Brainerd, in for Dom on a Tuesday night. This is Brewers Extra Innings. 12-4, the Brewers win in Detroit to kickstart this three-game series against the Tigers. Augie, good win for a couple of reasons. Number one, we mentioned the fact that Detroit has, coming in, only lost one time at home. They had back-to-back sweeps at home the last time they played there. So this was a hot team that knows how to play well at Comerica. And two, it keeps a good thing going for the Brewers because they had that lull, right? They had that, oh, woe is me, the Brewers, they're never going to get out of this losing streak. Well, now they have a winning streak going. So this carries over a good thing on the road so that it doesn't deflate what the work that you just did. And the way they're doing it with the offense, with the bats, 12 runs and 16 hits. And they're doing it without Jackson Churio. They're doing it without Christian Yelich. They're doing it without Andrew Vaughn. So guys are stepping up, and they're doing it in the typical Brewer way.
It's so neat to watch this team because they're not being creative. They're just doing what they do well.
That's what they do.
And I think when you look at it, and it's just a week ago, you and I were sitting here talking about this ball club, and they're in a little bit of a lull, and how couldn't they get out of it? And we just said, well, they just got to keep playing. They were playing, and things are going to work out.
During the losing streak, right?
We talked about it.
They weren't doing the things that they normally do. Guys were pressing a little bit. You could tell. They weren't bunting. They weren't stealing bases. This is the major league leading team in stealing bases, okay? So they started to do the things that they know how to do, and they excel, and you see the fruits of the labor now. It all came together tonight in more ways than one.
Well, yeah, and you look at this, look at what Murph has done with this lineup. I think it was creative from the beginning of the season. He's going to take Terang, and he's going to make you his leadoff hitter. Then he's going to hit Contreras. Contreras, what happens in the game of baseball used to be number three used to be your big hitter, guy that your RBI guy and all that. It's now the number two guy. And if you look at these two guys hitting now, Terang's hitting .307, Contreras is hitting .308, and then you have a little bit of lull there in batting averages. But then last week we also talked about Garrett Mitchell. what he is doing. Why are they putting him down in the lineup? Why isn't he higher in the lineup? Well, he's in that situation in that sixth and seventh place in the order where you're going to get guys on base. You got to create a game situation where you got to get guys on base and get opportunities to score. That's exactly what Garrett Mitchell is doing. You look what he's hitting. He's hitting .278. That's swinging the bat pretty well.
Yeah.
Not only is you look at him swinging the bat, he's really patient at the plate. You see him, he'll take a walk when he needs it. He'll get on base. He creates things. He's that five-tool guy. He's fast. He can run. He knows what he's doing. And I think that you look at what he's done at the top, especially when you don't have the three guys that are on the IL right now. You look at what Turang and Contreras are doing, but then you got to go down a little bit more, and you got to see what Garrett Mitchell is doing to this ball club.
Yeah, absolutely. 2 for 5 tonight. Scored a pair of runs, drove one in, struck out once, but yeah, .278. And as we always do with Garrett Mitchell, you know, knock on wood that he stays healthy because they're gonna need him. Yeah, those three guys that we talked about, Vaughn, Yelich, and Churio, they'll come back eventually.
Yeah,
but if you can have those guys healthy and Mitchell's healthy with them, what a difference that's gonna make. And I'll point this too out, Augie. Sal Frelick is still he's still hitting under 200. He's at 197. So with Sal down, you need the guy next to him in center field to be hitting, and Mitchell's picking up Sal right now.
I agree with you. I think you look at Sal, it looks like he's just trying a little bit too hard at the plate. He's not being as selective as he was last year. And you know he's going to come around. He's still a dangerous player. You know, when you look at Sal, what he can do. But I think the one guy, when you look at talking about, you said it earlier in the show that just go out and do what you do well. I think the classic example of this in their lineup is Hamilton. Hamilton is just going out and he does, how many bunts has he laid down that has been, tonight, a bunt for a base hit. You know, those are the things you do. You do what you do well. You use what your creative things have gotten you. And what does Hamilton have? He bunts for a base hit. He makes the players feel the ball stuff. He runs well. He feels well. He's taking what he does creatively, and he's helping the Brewers do in their style of playing baseball right now.
You know, when the Brewers make deals like the deal they did to get Hamilton from the Boston Red Sox.
That's right.
And if you're a fan, you always look at, okay, what are we getting in return, right? And you look at the numbers and you go, that's it? Like, what? Like this guy hasn't done anything in the minors. He hasn't done anything in his cup of coffee with the majors. Like, why do we want this guy? Well, you want a guy like Hamilton because he was 4 for 5 tonight from the 9 spot.
That's
and
right.
He was making things happen when you turn it back over to Turang and Contreras at the top. So when the Brewers make deals, it might not jump off the page, Augie, but they know the type of player that they're getting. And if it's the Brewer way type of player, they're all in and trying to acquire as many of those guys as they can.
Oh, they do. And I think the one thing when you talk about getting a guy like Hamilton and what he can do is, I think Murph said it earlier in the season, go out and be who you are. Don't be somebody different. Be who you are. Put the ball in play. And that one thing Hamilton said, I used to bunt a little bit more than I do now. Well, he's bunted a lot this year. He's putting the ball in play. But I think when you add the whole notion of what he's been doing, he's been playing extremely well in the field, fielding the ball both at short and at third. Number two, he's been putting the ball in play, not striking out a ton. But I tell you what, that element that the Brewers have, which is well known in the Major League Baseball, they got team speed. He adds to team speed, and that's really played a big difference with this ball club in games where you can take that extra base and you can score that extra run because you do have that good team speed.
Yeah. Well, you think about when the game was 3-1 tonight.
That's right.
And then the Detroit pitcher tries for the pickup, and they had him, but then throws it away.
That's right.
And then the Brewers, you know, got two runs out of the deal. He threw it away because he's weary. He's leery.
Absolutely.
He's aware that the Brewers are going to do something on the base paths, and we've seen that time and time again. Just the presence, Augie, of having speedy guys on the bases will have a pitcher all messed up and all nervous about what they're going to do next.
Yeah, and they're creative in which they do it. You know, your lineup, you know, you got Turang at the top who is definitely a guy that can go and steal bases. And, you know, after that with Contreras, Bauer, Sanchez, and then you got Mitchell who can steal some bases. But, you know, just the way this team is put together and what they've built themselves on, they know that team speed is really important, and they're going to utilize it to the best. Team speed doesn't mean you run from first to home real fast. It means you run all the bases fast, And I think that's one thing this team does very well.
All right, coming up next on Brewers Extra Innings, buying or selling. We did this a couple of weeks ago, Augie.
Yeah, we did.
We're going to go through the standings again. I'm going to ask you if you're buying or selling where teams are right now in the major leagues, especially the NL Central, which is top to bottom, one of the best. All right, it's time to play Buying or Selling with Jerry Augustine on Brewers Extra Innings. It's brought to you by Tony Wendorf and Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, Jerry, trust Tony Wendorf and Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin. Just in case, write this down. Powered by Keller Williams, they bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you. It's WendorfTeam.kw.com. All right, Augie, just checking the big board here. Everybody in the NL Central was a winner except for Pittsburgh. They're trailing 5-1 in the top of the ninth. But Reds, first place, they won big, 12-6 over Tampa Bay. Cardinals beat the Marlins 5-3. The Brewers, of course, winners over Detroit 12-4. And who am I forgetting? Pittsburgh.
You say Cardinals?
Cardinals won.
Cubs.
Yeah. Cubs won. Yeah. Cubs just won 7-4 over the Phillies. So everybody, unless Pittsburgh rallies here, but everybody in the division is going to be a winner except for Pittsburgh. So the standings are going to look like this. You're going to have the Reds in first place, Cards a game and a half behind them, Cubs two back, Brewers two back, and the Pirates two back. So if the Pirates lose, they're still going to be 13-10, still three games over 500. The Reds at 16-8 are eight games over 500. Is this the best division? Are you buying or selling this division, Augie, to be like this all year long?
I like this division. You know what? You look at the division, the Brewers, I think, have set a standard with the way they have played the last several years. You know, you're looking about six consecutive years of getting to the playoffs. I think they set a standard for this division that's saying, you know what? You've got to go out and play good, solid baseball if you want to be a part of it. And I think when all of us talked at the beginning of the season, we all talked about every team having some quality that was going to keep them in the contention. We take Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati is more of an all-around team where they've got pretty good pitching. They have a much better bullpen than they had before. It's a great ballpark to hit in.
Yeah.
So if offensively they're going to be pretty good. Can they sustain defensively to play well all year? You look at Pittsburgh, it's a pitching staff. It's all about they've got great pitching, and now they got some guys who are swinging the bat pretty well.
Yeah, O'Neill Cruz in center, and you bring up the shortstop.
Yeah.
So Bubba Chandler? No, Bubba Chandler's the pitcher.
No, he's a pitcher. But they're starting to do things where they're starting to infiltrate that lineup and get better players and giving guys a chance. And you know what? They picked up Ozuna. From Atlanta.
Yeah, and the DH.
You know, there's a guy who's a good offensive player. Then you go to Pittsburgh and you go to Cubs. Cubs are known for their hitting. I think if there's a weakness in the Cub ball club, it's their bullpen.
Yeah.
If there's any bullpen, and then that we just don't know what the Cardinals. Everybody thought the Cardinals were going to be in last place, but they're playing sustained baseball.
They are.
In all phases. So I still think this is going to be a fun year to watch a division say, hey, you know what? Where it might be teams 1 week in first place, next week in third place, because they're going to be battling each other. And when they get inside that division and play games inside the division, it's going to get really interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be fun again. Connor Griffin,
that's it.
Matt, our producer, Matt, he's in my ear saying, appreciate he's saying, it. Brainerd, brain fart, Connor Griffin. It's like, thank you, Matty. Okay, buying or selling here, Aug? You know, are you buying this start that it's going to be this good or this bad? Or are you selling, saying, no, you know, this is going to change? The Braves, 16-8. Are you buying that? Are they going to sustain it or not so much?
Well, I think the Braves is always an organization that they stay consistent in what they do. They understand that they always have to go out and get some pitching. And they get players that are like that fit a lot like the Brewers do. They fit the personality of their organization. And I think that's where they're really successful at. And I think this is a club that everybody says, well, we might. I think early in the season, I saw them down a little bit. I think this is a team that's going to be there all year. They've got they've got some really good starting pitching. Okay. They got some good offense, and they can play some solid defense.
Okay, at the bottom of the NL East, the Mets, and we told you the Twins came back to beat the Mets in New
row.
York, 12 in a row. So, are you buying that they're this bad, or will they snap out of it and figure things out?
That's you know what? when you look at what they've done and how they tried to get their team to be just a solid team all around, it's just not they're not functioning real well. All parts of this ball club is you're not getting the consistent pitching that you wanted to have. The bullpen's struggling a little bit, and now you look at their offense. They're not swinging the bat the way they wanted to. And then this is a team that when you build it, you got to build it in all three phases. You got to build it that you're going to be solid on the pitching staff, both at starting and the bullpen, and then you got to be solid offensively. But you do it with a good strong defense, yeah. And I think that's where they're lacking a little bit.
It's a hot mess right now. The Metropolitans are. And one more in the National League, Augie. We're not going to talk about the Dodgers because the Dodgers are the Dodgers. But right behind, only a game behind them, the San Diego Padres. We're going to see San Diego here in Milwaukee in a couple weeks. But only a game behind, 15-7. Their last 10, they're 9-1. So are you buying this that they're going to be in contention there with nipping at LA, or will they fade?
Well, they're also a team. They're kind of a mystery team every year because you think they're going to be. What is it going to take to overtake the Dodgers? And I think right now what they're doing, this organization is doing, it didn't go out and make those huge moves that they did in the past. They just did complimentary moves for this ball club to make them better. And I think what thing they're doing right now, they're just playing really consistent baseball. They're getting that good pitching that they need. Their bullpen is just absolutely one of the best in baseball. And I'll tell you what, offensively, you look at the team they have, they can put some runs on the board.
I want your take on two teams in the American League. Are you buying this or selling this? And both of them are not doing well. Boston Red Sox last in the AL East at 9-14. And the Seattle Mariners, not in last place, but close in the AL West at 10-14. Is Seattle and Boston, are they not as good as the hype? Are they going to stay not as good as the hype, or will they snap out of it?
I'm in favor of the Seattle Mariners coming back to life. I think you look at their squad that they have, they've gone out and they've improved themselves on the pitching side and the bullpen a little bit. What they had to do is get a couple arms. I think on the field they can be as consistent. They're a good offensive club. They're extremely well defensively on the defensive side of the ball. The Red Sox is a question mark. When we played them, I didn't quite understand how they weren't swinging the bat real well. And they weren't playing what was something concerning for me. They weren't playing good defense.
No, they weren't.
And the defensive side of the ball is, I think, where you have to have when you have pitchers on the mound that are young and you don't understand what direction you're going to go. You got to play good defense. And I'll tell you what, I didn't think they played good defense against the Brewers, and I think that could be their downfall.
All right, you're buying it. You're selling it.
I think the Boston Red Sox are going to be
trouble,
not a problem that they're going to be struggling with, especially when you got Toronto and all the and Toronto and New York playing where they are. And I just think
Baltimore's better. Tampa Bay is they're holding their own there. So
Tampa Bay is always there.
Yeah.
They have the good strong pitching, and Baltimore's starting to play a little bit better.
Yeah.
So I think that Boston's going to run into some problems this year.
He's Jerry Augustine. He's former Brewer pitcher. He's my guy on Tuesday nights here. Augie, get out of here. I'll take it home the rest of the way.
It's the 3B night.
It's the 3B night.
That's right. Just baseball, Brewers, and Bobby Brady. I love it.
Thanks, Augie. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Good
take
to be
care.
With you,
more to come. We'll hear more from the Brewers' victory, 12-4, on the road in Motown tonight. Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings. Bob Brainerd in for Dominant Tuesday night. Milwaukee over Detroit. In Detroit, 12-4 was the final score. I mentioned earlier, talking to Augie, that this really seemed like the atypical Brewers piecemeal victory. Piecemealed the pitching staff together to get you to the finish line. Piecemealed the lineup card together they busted out with the 7 spot late in the game, but to get there while the pitching staff is figuring it out, the hitters just kind of chipped away and chipped away. Again, it was just kind of typical Brewers piecemealing both sides to get the job done tonight. And Pat Murphy was able to talk about all the piecemealing that he got done.
Their starter's very good. And we put together a great inning there against them and then got them out of the game early and then took advantage of the lefty. They had to use both their top lefties yesterday, so took advantage of one of their middle guys. And, some great at-bats, grinding them out, same way we always do, trying to grind them out and try to take advantage.
It was still kind of a close game when Perk made that catch there, that robbery. That was about as casual a robbery as you're going to see, wasn't it?
Yeah, Yeah, it was a nice catch. He's a good outfielder, really good outfielder. Happy for him. He hasn't had a lot of chances. A lot of things haven't went his way. He's hit some balls hard lately that have been caught. And, yeah, I'm really happy for him.
With the six outs that you got from Grant tonight and some of the outings he's given you early, do you feel like he's kind of been a little bit of an unsung hero in the bullpen?
Yeah, I think he's been sharp. He had one hiccup there in the extra innings. I don't know who that was against, Washington, I guess, but he had the hiccup there in extra innings, and then he's been really good ever since and hitting his spots, and William does a great job with him. And I thought, you know, it was huge today for him to come in when he did, bases loaded, no outs, get the ground ball, and you know, get a number of ground balls in the game. I thought it was huge.
For Harrison in that fourth inning, do you feel like it was just a guy who hadn't pitched in a while and
yeah,
pitch count got to
exactly
70?
Fastball was cut, was just kind of yanking his fastball and didn't really have command there. You could tell he was speeding himself up, and yeah, that doesn't bode well. So we think we got him out at a good time. Close to 70 pitches or something.
72.
Yeah, that's about what we wanted. We were thinking 75 to 80 with that 9-day layoff at the most. So I thought he did a really nice job, though. Pitched out of some trouble himself.
Did you have Gary Sanchez triple on your bingo card for today?
No, did not. Did not. Neither did anyone else in the ballpark, including his own family.
Four hit night for Hamilton tonight. Was that nice to see?
Yeah, it was very nice. Yeah, he's been through a lot. He's done a great job. He's starting to understand it. He's taking ownership. That's the most important thing. He's taking ownership of his game. He understands what we want out of him. And, yeah, he's a tremendous base runner, good defender, getting better. And offensively, he can be a force.
Garrett struggles with the high fastball. Been pretty well documented. That triple that he hit, was that one of the better swings you've seen from him?
Yeah, I mean, it was, yeah, it really was. He's gaining in confidence also. You know, he's gaining in confidence, and that's crucial, especially against lefties.
Is it good to start stacking some good appearances for Trevor, too? Another decent inning?
Yeah, and in an unorthodox inning, you know, he doesn't usually pitch the sixth and probably was shocked by it, but that's what a team does. You do whatever you can to help your team win. This is still a team game, and we got to remember that.
Speaking of that, I mean, we've seen this version of a win a bunch of times where another, you know, Mitchell, that just hustle single, the error on the pickoff, and your guys turn it into multiple runs. Is that like a learned skill to do, or is it just sort of something that your guys
develop? I think momentum in a game is real. And when we're putting pressure on other teams because of our speed, or putting pressure on teams because of balls in play, I mean, that happens. You know, you make it difficult on them, and then, you know, it affects people. You know, they don't. You know, a lot of guys think of the game, you know, like, you know, why me? You know, that doesn't seem right, and you can sometimes take advantage. But yeah, that's part of it. You got to keep the pressure on and do that. I think every team tries to do that. So I don't know that we're the only club that capitalizes like that. But I see it a lot. You know, our innings are a walk and an infield hit and a bunt and it's all part of it. Pitchers looking out there like, wait a minute, I haven't given a ball up out of the infield and the space is loaded, no outs. Now I got to really make pitches. You know. And Terang comes through, and you know, a lot of great performances tonight. A lot of great performances.
See, Pat Murphy didn't use the actual word piecemeal, but the way he talked about it, he talked about the pitching, he talked about the offense, he talked about the defense as well. And it's going to be one of our highlights, Blake Perkins making a terrific catch. But that was all the components that went into this victory tonight, 12-4 Milwaukee, a winner over the Tigers in Detroit. As promised, highlights of this one when we return on Brewers Extra Innings. I promise you, Jerry Augustine and I did not have a wager to see how many times we could say the word piecemeal during Brewers Extra Innings. I promise you that. But we did piecemeal the highlights together. A little offense, a little pitching, a little defense. Here they are.
Ready for this?
Out of here!
This?
Brought it back! Ho, ho, ho!
And this?
Gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
Really great start for Milwaukee in this one. First of three in Detroit. You're trying to keep the good vibes going and trying to keep it going on the road. And they kickstart things off in the second inning with Sal Frelick.
Here's the pitch. Salah, ground ball right side. That's going to get through and into right field for a base hit. Mitchell's going to be sent around third. Here's the throw from Vierling. It's going to be cut off, and the Brewers take a 1-0 lead. Sal Frelick delivers his fourth hit of this road trip. It's an RBI single through the right side.
Really key, because now you get it back to the top of the order, and here comes Bryce Terang.
And the pitch. And Bryce, a broken bat flare into right. That's going to drop in there for a base hit. Renjifo is in. Frelick's being sent around third. Here's the throw. It's cut off. Frelick's going to be safe. And now they've got Terang in a rundown between first and second. And Terang's going to end up at second. Dashing home is Hamilton, and he is going to be out at the plate. Brewers get a couple of runs on the play. Renjifo and Frelick both scoring.
3-0 the count there. Now we go to the third inning, and Kyle Harrison, we talked about his outing. It was a little short. He was throwing in the 70s, and things were getting a little dicey in the third inning, but then Blake Perkins helped save the day.
2-1 pitch, drilled into deep left field. This is way back. Blake Perkins onto the track. Perkins right at the wall, reaches up over the fence and caught it. He took a home run away from Jamai Jones. Blake Perkins. He didn't even have to jump. He braced himself up against the left center field fence, reached over, and caught it as if he were just snagging a routine fly ball.
Yeah, that was big. And then Harrison able to take some of that energy and expound it back on the mound.
Two on, two out, 2-2. Swing and a miss. He got him with a changeup. Big pitch by Kyle Harrison. It puts away Dylan Dingler, and he strands a pair here in the third. An eventful inning.
Yeah, indeed it was. And it stayed 3-0 Brewers after those three innings. Tigers were able to scratch a run out in the fourth inning, and then the Brewer bats went pretty cold the rest of the way, all the way into the sixth inning. But then in the seventh, they tallied twice to help open up a little bit more of a comfortable lead at 5-1. But the eighth inning, it got crazy go nuts. They tallied 7 runs in the inning. The inning just went on and on and on. Some of the highlights in the inning, how about Gary Sanchez with a triple and then followed up with Garrett Mitchell.
1-2 pitch is lined down the right field line. This is going to roll into the corner. We might have another triple. Sanchez jogging home. Mitchell sprinting around second. He's on his way to third. And Mitchell in there with a sliding RBI triple. The Brewers have gone back-to-back with three baggers here in the eighth inning.
I guess I was listening to the Tiger broadcasters, and they said it's been like 11 years since the Brewers had back-to-back triples. But it was Sanchez and Mitchell getting it done there, but not done. Part of the fireworks, Jake Bowers at the plate to close things out.
First and second for the Brewers, and now Bowers with a line drive down the left field line. That's going to get down and roll into the corner. Perkins is in. Stopping at third is Contreras. It's an RBI double for Bowers. And the Brewers lead it 11-1.
So in that inning that really busted it open, 7 runs plated. Tigers got 3 runs in the bottom of the ninth inning. It didn't even make it interesting because the damage was done. So Milwaukee wins it 12-4, 12 runs on 16 hits. Everybody in the Brewers' starting lineup except for Blake Perkins, did he get a hit? No. Blake didn't get a hit, but he had that tremendous catch. But everybody else besides Blake Perkins had at least one hit in the baseball game, including the number 9 hitter for the Brewers, Mr. Hamilton, who we talked about, went 4-for-5 in this one. When we come back on Brewers Extra Innings, we'll set the table for Game 2 in Kittytown tomorrow. Pitching matchup could be a good one. All right, final thoughts on this edition of Brewers Extra Innings. Bob Brainerd in for Dom on a Tuesday night. You heard from Jerry Augustine. Milwaukee a winner over Detroit, 12-4. Milwaukee now 13-9 on the season. The Tigers are at 12-12. And again, this was a team that came in with just one loss at home. So good to get a victory in the Tigers' home ballpark. They will also try to get another one tomorrow night. Really good pitching matchup between two really good pitchers. Chad Patrick going for Milwaukee. He's 1-0, ERA of .95 with 9 strikeouts. And Casey Mize goes for Detroit. He's 1-1, but an ERA of 2.78. He's got 25 strikeouts so far in this early going. And I say it's important to try to get this victory tomorrow for Milwaukee, because come Thursday, you get Tarek Skubal. And that will be difficult, as it is for every team in Major League Baseball, to go against the defending Cy Young Award winner. So, again, everybody in the division, in the NL Central division, they were able to get victories except for Pittsburgh. So Milwaukee leapfrogs the Pirates for the moment. Cincinnati's still in front, but everybody else, everybody top to bottom, is playing over 500 baseball so far in the early going here in the month of March and April. I want to thank Matt Yazel. Sorry, Matty, for pressing all the right buttons, for getting in my ear and telling me who the Pirates shortstop is. For Jerry Augustine, I'm Bob Brainerd. You've been listening to Brewers Extra Innings. Milwaukee wins it tonight in Detroit, 12-4.